It's all here.
A no-hitter, grand slam.
Have all the fun you want.
Every moment, every game.
Make sure you guys tune in.
Catch the White Sox only on NBC Sports Chicago.
Welcome into another episode of the Bulls Talk Podcast, brought to you by Coors Light. As always, I'm surrounded by my teammates, Casey Johnson, Rob Schaefer, our digital content producer, Tony Gill, and of course, you. We're going to get into Zach LaVine, Team USA, how Zach looked in the first and second half against Spain, the interview that he did with Rob Schaefer, and the breaking news that we got during the podcast. We'll also get into some other things as far as Team USA is concerned, and we got kind of into the NBA Finals and the prediction. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some basketball talk.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Yeah, man, I don't get the Basketball Hall of Fame. I just kind of gave up on trying to figure it out and be like, this person's going to Hall of Fame. Okay. Like, I don't have debates about it anymore. Like, I don't care anymore. Like, I figured I'm going to remember the players that meant most to me. And the same will go for every other basketball fan that the Hall of Fame. I don't need the Hall of Fame to, you know, help me remember the players that I watched. Like,
no doubt. What's cool about it is Casey's point where it's like you do the people who get in, you do the ceremony, and you just, you know, you get to celebrate their career for a day.
The ceremony is awesome. And the emotion and the reverence and the appreciation that you can, it's palpable, man. I've been in that hall. It's amazing, man. I've covered.
Which ones have you been to, Casey? Too many to count?
No, like 3 or 4. I was at Jordan's, Pippen's, the year Rodman and Tex Winter got in together. And then one other one. That might be it, but I think I did a fourth one. I'm getting old. I can't remember anything. but I definitely have been there 3 times. And Springfield, Mass is like really cool. You know, it's like a cute little East Coast town. And, you know,
birthplace. I used to drive past it to get to Six Flags.
Yeah, and hometown of Vinny Del Negro. So you got to take a knee and pay your honor to Vinny Del Negro. So it's all good. I've really enjoyed being out there, but I don't know. It's just kind of a weird system.
Who's the next bull that's getting in?
Zach LaVine, baby.
No, Derek should get in, shouldn't he?
You think?
No. What?
I wrote about that last year, like just examining it. I tried not to take a side, but then
I'm on the Cali train with that one.
Yeah,
I love that.
Every NBA MVP has been in there, man.
I know. He would be the first one.
First one. I said this like 5 years ago. Derrick Rose is going to be the first MVP not in the Hall of Fame.
Kind of wild.
Unless he just manages to stay on NBA rosters and just.
Well, that's the thing is like if he top
25 score all time.
If this second leg of his career, if this second leg of his career and a productive second leg lasts long enough that he just like gets the counting stats high enough.
He needs like six man of the year awards.
Yeah. But the thing is,
he was a finalist, man. Who, like, what other players ever been a finalist for this six man after winning MVP? I mean, it's like, you know.
Yeah.
He was a finalist this year.
Yeah. That's an interesting one.
Should the Bulls retire his number?
Yes, definitely.
I think so.
Shouldn't he be close?
Yeah. He'd be the only one. He'd be the only one from that era, though. You wouldn't do Joe. Yeah,
Joe got a top 5 MVP vote and then defensive player of the year. Some of these dudes just need statues or no, not plaques.
Like yeah, you guys should do. They should do like a monument park, like they have with the Yankees.
Yeah, they get a plaque or like a walk of fame on the floor somewhere. But Derek should be the only person to should be getting his jersey retired.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And it's like to me, Joe would be comparable to Norm Van Lier. You know, like the heart and soul of those teams. But you know, yeah. is Norm's jersey retired? You know, so
we're talking about jersey retirements, Jason.
I hear. I always one of my favorite conversations.
Oh.
Well, thanks a lot for joining us on the Bulls Talk Podcast.
It's been real. No, man. Let me tell you something. AirPods are bullshit because mine is the only ear that all the attachments don't fit. You know what I'm saying? I'm tired of these things. I tried twice now on locations, two different times. Say, hey, let me be a good Apple customer for the first time in my life. I put these bullshits in my ear and they always fall out. I can't work out in these things. Everybody who's some Apple aficionado can't wait to give me all the attachments. Screw these things, man. I don't give a shit because Apple ain't going to do shit for me anyway, except when they want to really get down with us. Then I'll start talking better about these, man. Like, you know, and then when you touch, they disconnect. They disconnect everything. I can't touch my ears, apparently, if I want to keep talking to somebody on a phone call. But the jersey retirement thing, I stopped doing that, especially the Derrick Rose one, after Cap, rest in peace to Sports Talk Live, but I went on there with Cap one time, and Cap lost his mind. I was like, you know what? There's certain conversations I won't even engage in anymore.
In which direction?
I remember that. Cap,
which direction you think it is, bro?
Cap went viral over that, saying like Derrick Rose absolutely should not get his jersey retired.
Oh yeah, Cap spoke for the other half of Chicago who hated Derrick Rose when he couldn't play because his knee got hurt and went, you know what I'm saying? Like went crazy. It was like he gave up and all this other stuff. I'm not gonna put words in Cap's mouth, but that was my sayonara to the Bulls retirement of Derrick Rose jerseys conversation. I am cool. Derrick Rose is like the fourth greatest player or fifth greatest player maybe in franchise history. Like he's in the top five somewhere. Yeah. If he don't get his jersey retired, then you should just stop doing it.
He won an MVP with your team.
He's not an MVP, the youngest MVP in NBA. A lot of people, Moses Malone played in the NBA at a young age. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So whenever that comes up, knock it out. Whatever you, if you want to hang it up, don't worry. It will be hung up south of 35th Street for eternity. So in the President's Lounge, it will be hung up. Jokes and Notes, it will be hung up at various Chicago nightlife places. It will be hung up. If it's not hung up in the United Center, so be it. Like, I'm not tripping. Your team usually get an ass kicked on jersey retirement night anyway, so it's whatever.
The more I think about it, I think it would bother me if it wasn't retired at the United Center. I think it would really bother me.
Yeah?
Because, yeah, I mean, he's the best player since Jordan.
Yeah.
Since Jordan left, he was your best player. There's not another player.
And they're not winning anything, right? Like, who are the other two? Bob Love and Sloan, right, KC?
Yeah.
Like,
those weren't championship winning teams, but they, you know, stole Hearted City. I guess it's different because they were like kind of at the infancy stage of the franchise, but kind of seems like they went back to the infancy stage for about a decade there, you know, in the aughts. So like coming out of that, I don't know. To me, I'm an outsider though, so my opinion doesn't matter as much, but it feels crazy to me that they wouldn't.
It does. It matters. Knock it off. It does matter. And if I'm not mistaken, KC, because you're our historian here, but they went to the West Finals against Rick Barry and them boys, right? And lost, and then Rick Barry goes on to set finals records for scoring and all those good things. Devin Booker is now part of that category of like, what was it? 40-point games, back-to-back games, and finals losses or something like that. There was some stat where it was Rick Barry, Devin Booker, and another guy on the graphic. Speaking of graphics, hey, are we done with the Derrick Rose conversation?
Yeah, sure.
Graphics. Listen, I know, and as KC, you know, knew when we first started doing some of our betting situations on this podcast, you know, we always talk nice about the sponsors and about the parent company. But I got to say this about I did not, the Spain game is the only game that I've watched in terms of Team USA. I've watched bits and pieces. I watched that game yesterday. You got to give me something graphic-wise other than the score of the game. There was points in that game where guys were missing 3-4 shots in a row. I needed to see field goal attempts versus field goals made. I needed to see minutes. I wanted to see all the things that I'm used to seeing in the regular broadcast. And Carol Lawson and Kay Scott did a great job. But NBC Sports, they treated this shit like an exhibition, for real. Right? Johnson, I'm watching this game close as hell, right? Because I know we're going to have to pot about it. And Keldon Johnson is going crazy. I'm like, oh, he's got to have 8 or 10 in a row right now. And Carol Lawson is like, yeah, he's got 12 points in the quarter. I'm like, well, shit, I would love to know that if somebody put it up on the screen for me. It's like it's like they gave somebody a program and was like, we don't know who these guys are, but don't worry about that because nobody's going to worry about the points that they score or the rebounds that they get or like, it, you know, there was a 10-2 run, and I was like, oh, sure wish I knew what kind of run this was. You know, I'm doing math in my head and shit. Like, I've been spoiled by all the other broadcasts of basketball that maybe the Olympics would be different, but that shit felt like a Sunday CBS game of the week where you're going to see at the end of the game in bright yellow font and big-ass numbers, like 30 points, 12 rebounds for, you know, Kevin McHale. I'm like – like, can I get some info? Like, Zach went off for a back-to-back possession situation where he ended one of them with a bump on Rudy Fernandez and then dunking on him, right? And I'm like, oh, Zach hit 2 threes. This is a dunk. I'm like, I think he has 8 points in the quarter. You know what I'm saying? But it was weird to watch, like, a game where you know how – stat crazy this world is now with the ticker at the bottom and news happening and every time somebody makes a bucket, you get to see some kind of stat or some kind of percentage showing you or belaboring the point that, hey, this should be happening. Man, that NBC Sports Network broadcast was skeleton-ish, straight up. Like at one point, I was trying to count on my fingers, like, how many points Zach had, because I was like, that's 2 baskets in a row, I believe. But it's weird to watch that team. Do you? Yeah. That team is little as hell, like super little. Like, you go back to like the dream team or whatever. You had Stockton and Barkley as the shortest players on that team, right? But other than that, you had height, you had length. This team has that, but they got it in wings who don't play in a big position. So in like international basketball fours and fives, if your bigs are JaVale McGee, Draymond Green, Bam Adebayo, like there's only a little bit of length there for real. And then on top of it, Draymond Green and Bam Adebayo, for the defense that they give you, they're not pulling anybody outside the paint. So, you know, there was so many driving lanes that were clogged up where Damian Lillard, when he was trying to find his shot early in the game, or when Zach was trying to find a shot early in the game. I'm wondering what Pop is going to do with this lineup to kind of alleviate some of that pressure that they have to have certain guys on the floor defensively, but man, they're getting killed offensively because of what they can't do, I think, in terms of their versatility with bigs. Now, I could be off with this because it's the first full one I've watched. I've watched pieces of the other ones, but there's some roster composition issues that I can see them going into these games with.
Yeah, it kind of reminds you of Brooklyn, right? I mean, it's the answer, yeah. KD at the five, you know? Maybe that'd be kind of a fun thing to look at. But no, it's interesting, and I can't decide. We were talking about this before you came on, Jay. I kind of can't decide whether the lack of size or the lack of like true playmaking is the biggest roster hole, because you can downsize with, you know, like I said, KD at the five or whatever, but then you miss Bam and Draymond's playmaking and their ability to get other guys involved and organize offense and things like that. So yeah, it is, like you said, there's size and there's skill and obviously, scoring ability, isolation scoring ability and some playmaking, but it's all in this wing package, which is great and should make them pretty malleable. But I'm interested because, you know, Dame, I think, is a pretty true one, but obviously a scoring one. You're going to get Drew Holiday from the finals. Who knows what the minutes loads of him and Book and Chris Middleton are going
to
be.
That's champion. That's NBA champion Drew Holiday to you, mister.
Oh, okay. Well, careful. Oh, I guess by the time the game will be night of, this comes out. But
when anybody listens to it, this series is over. Over. Because everybody's favorite 8th best point guard of all time.
Oh, no.
last two games. Ass. And if he's hurt, cool. That's fine. Maybe he shouldn't play. But he has been ass the last two games. All right? 3 days off. I want to hit shit about rest. He taped that wrist up so everybody can know that this wrist injury is a thing. He has been horrible.
Darnell, horrible. If you're Darnell Mayberry, if you're out there listening, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
I love CP3, but hey, man, you gotta call it how you see it.
I don't know if you do love CP3. Dude.
I do.
I'm gonna call you on that. I don't know if you do love CP3.
I mean, you might, you know. I like watching this thing play out the way it's played out. I'm gonna keep funky with you. Like he can't dribble a basketball right now.
Yeah.
USA.
My bad. We'll get into the eventual NBA champs later on in this pod, I guess.
And
we went from the Olympic roster to the NBA finals in a hurry there.
The Team USA thing is interesting. Something we were also talking about before we started recording is that, you know, team issues aside, and they have a little bit of momentum here when the last two, both Zach LaVine starts, you know, there's a stat for you, 2-0 when Zach LaVine is in the starting lineup in exhibition play. But what's interesting is, you know, we talked about the guys in the finals that are coming. It kind of seems like Zach might have a bigger role on this team than we anticipated at first. When he got picked, it's not just an all-star roster. It's like an all NBA, a lot of Hall of Famers on the roster type of roster. And it was kind of a question of, where's he going to fit in? All right, he's picking guys up full court. He's focusing on the defensive side of it, picking his spots offensively. But with Beal out, and this is something KC wrote about over the weekend, we can get into that. But with Beal out, it does seem like, you know, last night when he played 22 minutes, had 13 points, really asserted himself in the fourth quarter. It just looks like in terms of that two-guard spot, and he's even been running some backup one and initiating offense. Mm-hmm. It looks like Zach is going to have an opportunity to really, really contribute here. Which I think is interesting, not to take too much away from the exhibitions. Cause obviously if Greg Popovich was on this podcast right now, he'd say, you know, the exhibitions, rotations and lineups and things like that mean nothing, but reading the tea leaves, I don't know. I look forward to it. Seeing Zach, you know, have a little bit of an outsized role on this team in a way that maybe we didn't expect coming into this thing.
I thought he was one of the, if not the best, one of the better players on the court in the fourth quarter. I know it's just an exhibition, but the way he played in that fourth quarter against Spain, and, you know, Greg Popovich fielded a question post game about, you know, given how intense the NBA finals are, what kind of mental and physical shape are Devin Booker, Drew Holiday, and Chris Middleton going to arrive in? And, you know, Pop obviously, having coached in so many finals, knows the commitment it takes both mentally and physically to win a championship. So I know those guys are going to be important to Team USA when they get there, but, you know, will Pop maybe tend to favor the fresh legs guys, the guys who weren't in the playoffs? And Zach just looked incredibly athletic and spry and active in that fourth quarter. And I agree with Rob. I think when Zach was first landing on this roster, you know, you could even say, okay, well, he got there because James Harden pulled out or what have you, you know, and he's just happy to be there. But I think when all is said and done, we're obviously just guessing here, but when all is said and done, I think Zach's going to play a pretty instrumental role for Team USA. I really do.
Yeah, he has looked energized, and as he should, because a lot of these guys are coming from the playoffs. But he's looked, you know, as like you said, Casey, spry is the right word for it, as any of these dudes. And with his athletic advantages, I mean, you just see him being opportunistic on drives and slashes and things like that. He's making highlight reel plays already. There's definitely a window or a niche there.
Yeah, and you know, he's proven something. Right. He's pretty, like, yeah. You get to this stage because you were in the Olympic program, you know, the U19 situation. Then he was a part of the select team. And then you get selected because obviously, like you mentioned, the circumstances with other players, you get a chance. You go out there and ball. You prove yourself. Keldon Johnson, like, yo, a lot of people, including myself, was like, oh, OK. But this is where you find yourself. Right. You found yourself on the select team. You practice hard. You do what you had to do. You curried favor in terms of Team USA basketball. And now you're in a position where you're out there going to score 10 points and being like the pivotal person in the third quarter coming out that second half. And as you mentioned, too, Casey, the second half, especially that fourth quarter, where guys are still, it seemed like guys were still trying to find their shot, and Zach found it and also got aggressive off of finding it as well. You know, he had a couple of threes and obviously the dunk, but he was, it was good to see. It was good to see. And on top of it, who knows what this Olympics is going to be like. Everything that's being reported, there's a lot of consternation about what's going to happen COVID-wise in the Olympic Village. So You never know. You know, you never know what opportunities you may find yourself in or who you're leading to victory or if you're getting a chance to play. So this is one of those moments in time where I think Zach is trying to capture everything he can. And he's, you know, a proven ground in terms of, okay, I was first time All-Star last year, but I'm playing with MVPs and champions and all that. And they should respect my game the same way they respect it when they come visit Chicago or when we drop in on their cities. This is a different vibe. You get a chance for people to really see what you are outside of highlights and also, you know, playing against you.
Yeah. You're going to run here. Yep. You're going to run here. He can get his own signature shoe.
I mean, well,
if there's a thing, you know, we had like Olympic Mellow, like if we get Olympic Zach, like I'm here for it.
Yeah. See, this is the thing, though. Zach's profile really started to get big over the last couple of years. Zach came in, dunk contest, you know, all that good stuff. And coming out of school, went to Minnesota. Nobody was really checking for the Timberwolves, even though they had three young guys. The Jimmy Butler trade. Like, Zach's been the name with a lot of things. Now, it's his name, right? These last couple of years, Dwayne Wade and everybody tweeting about him. Like, his profile, I mean, the market is right. I don't know how much money Adidas has to drop in personal player exclusive shoes. They got what, three or four guys on their roster now, right? Dame and James Harden. And that's about it. And Yeezy, right? Kanye West. So like, it'd be a big deal if Zach got his own shoe. And I wouldn't see, you talk about marketing opportunities and I'm never one to mess with anybody's money because you go where you get your money. But Jordan Brand, who has been searching and searching and searching, you know, they put out some pretty bad player exclusives with certain players. And since Rob just mentioned a guy, I'm not going to mention CP3's line of shoot, but, you know, the Luka experiment that's happening now, the Zion experiment. You need the Jason Tatum. I don't know how well that's going for Jordan Brand. Russell Westbrook is getting ready to be on the other side of that brand career. You know, Chicago, Jordan, you know, if he stays in Chicago, he's a high flyer. I don't know if he would want to put that kind of pressure on himself, but yeah, Zach's in line to make a lot of money, especially if he's, you know, the international star the way he is locally and obviously in the NBA.
You still out in Vegas, Jason?
So, huh?
You still out in Vegas?
Yeah, I'm still out here in Vegas, man, just trying not to lose any money, trying to stay afloat, trying not to be inebriated walking these streets. Apparently, too, I haven't been to Vegas in a few years, so a lot of things that I thought were going to be here when I got here are shut down. So I'm pretty much just – I'm here for a surprise party. You know, I had to watch the game with a bunch of people the first half of the game. I was like, all right.
Oh, did you go in person?
No, I didn't. Got it. I didn't. I was trying to get credentialed, but I guess that happened too late. But no, I didn't get a chance to go. But there are a bunch of tall gentlemen walking around. Ran into Penny Hardaway. There's a bunch of people here in Vegas. So, you know, it's not like Summer League. Like, Summer League was a lot more fun. But, you know, there's the basketball energy here in the city, as well as the we're back open energy as well. But
Didn't see anybody do anything untowards, did you?
You talking about you self-snitching or
NBA?
No.
Oh, I didn't know you get down like that.
Nah. I'm a chill viber. I don't do untoward things. I don't like being out of control too much, Tony.
Nobody hit you with Jason Goff from Sirius XM. Man, come do this bump with me real fast, man.
No. I love it though that it would be from SiriusXM. Hey, you anonymous national radio guy, come do cocaine with me. Apparently, talking about no, but I did. There was a gentleman who had a Bulls hat. He had a Blackhawks hat. He had a Eloy Jimenez jersey on, and he had Bulls shorts on. So I immediately wanted to avoid contact with this young man. And next thing I know, he's checking in next to us. And he's like, fucking Golf. And I'm like, oh, no.
What an insane way to introduce yourself to someone.
I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, man, enjoy your time. I'm like, oh, shit, we're checking in next to each other. It's going to be weird. You know, but it was cool. No one's done anything untoward in front of me, at least. Everybody's been above board. It's been okay.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Did you know that 80% of the grass-fed beef sold in the U.S. is imported from overseas? It is staggering. That's why I get my meat from GoodRanchers.com. That's right. It's 100% American beef and chicken, by the way. GoodRanchers.com safely delivers American craft beef and better than organic chicken and more. And by the way, the steaks are always USDA choice and prime, so you ain't got to worry about none of that as well. Delivered quickly and safely to your door. Don't play the grocery store guessing game. Chicken is 100% all natural. No antibiotics ever. No hormones ever added. It's better than organic stuff that you're eating right now. Don't play that game. Know where your meat comes from with GoodRanchers.com. Go to GoodRanchers.com and use the code Chicago for $20 off and free express shipping, and you can get ready to grill because it comes individually wrapped right out of the vacuum seal pouch. And don't forget, you always get free express shipping. Safe and convenient way to shop.
Well, we talk about the Zach interview. What do you think about that, man?
Jump into the Zach interview. Rob, Casey, where would you like to take us in terms of the Zach interview?
Well, so I can save Rob and put in the position of tooting his own horn because he loves doing that so much. I'll take the lead on this one. You know, Rob obviously flew out to Vegas and got a nice one-on-one sit down with Mr. Levine. It's a great listen on the last episode of the Bulls Talk podcast. So if you've not caught it, when you're done listening to this one, you can go catch that one. And my biggest takeaways from it were, first of all, beyond the intense preparation that young Rob Schaefer did for the interview. It's just a great listen. But to me, the big takeaway, obviously, the headline is just Zach talking about his contract extension. You know, he's touched on that subject a couple times during the offseason, but in a one-on-one format, I think just some more truth and some more genuineness kind of shines through. And my read on it, and, you know, obviously it's informed by just some stuff that I know and some people I've talked to, is that this certainly sounds like a guy who's committed to the franchise long-term and is not worried about, you know, getting his money. It's going to happen whether it's this summer or next summer. You know, that's really kind of been the read from the jump of the Nikola Vucevic trade, was them committing to Zach and Vucevic as two of the main core pieces. And, you know, Zach has earned a big payday. Let's just call it like we see it. I mean, he's now on this stage with all-stars and Olympians, and he's not signing for your standard 120% raise max. He's signing for a big boy max, and he deserves it. So, and he just sounds like a guy who knows that it's coming, whether it's, again, summer or next summer. So now, Rob, now that I've deflected attention from you, you can fill in the blanks from whatever I left out there.
Yeah, no, 100%. And my read was the same, just talking to him, that at the very least, it seems like him and the organization are on the same page with stuff. I mean, obviously this stuff is all words until the ink dries. So, you know, we'll see how it develops over the course of the next year. But on top of everything you just said, Casey, which I of course agree with, one big kind of takeaway or thing that I noticed and honestly was pretty impressed by was the way Zach talked about the timing of, you know, a potential extension. Cause the way I wanted to frame the question to him was, you know, does he have a preference whether it gets sorted out this offseason or next offseason? like we've talked about on the podcast before and like we've written about ad nauseum, the Bulls are in a position to either extend him for that 120% max KC, which, you know, breaks out to like 4 years, 104, 105 million. That's obviously not going to approach his, what his market value would be, especially coming off of this deal that he's on right now, which, you know, he gets paid out 19 and a half a year, which is obviously woefully below market value. So they'll have the opportunity to do that. They could either clear cap space, about $14 million, and raise him to his max starting this year, or they could wait until obviously unrestricted free agency next offseason. I think there are pros and cons to every side of it, but what was interesting hearing Zach talk about it is he seems to be pretty open, flexible, kind of open-minded to the timing of it. Like you said, Casey, with the, you know, assuredness that, you know, it's coming eventually. And one thing that he said was just mentioning that he understands what goes into clearing the cap space to give him that immediate raise now in terms of renouncing free agents and things like that. It was a small thing, but I picked up on it, and it just, you know, I was just impressed that he would, you know, even be cognizant of that. And it speaks to, you know, not only does he want to make what he's owed and what his value is, but he also wants the team to obviously get better because he hasn't won at the NBA level yet and a level that he's satisfied with. And, you know, it might make more sense from the Bulls' perspective to use their cap space bullets and use all the resources in their at their disposal to improve the team now and then take care of Zach next offseason. I still think it could go either way because there obviously is value in moving quickly and being upfront and locking him in long term now. It takes a lot of doubt out of this season, next offseason, and it also just, you know, fortifies the two-way commitment there. But I was impressed that Zach was even, you know, aware that that is a consideration at play. Just obviously the fact that it would take a lot of sacrificing in terms of renouncing free agents that the Bulls have depth. But also, you know, you could clear out the cap space and then to not use it on an external addition when the roster is in such need of improvement. It's just a tough calculation to make. So he seems to be at least aware of that. But other than that, in the interview, we talked about Pat and how he did with the select team because media wasn't allowed in those practices, which is unfortunate. You know, all we get are kind of these social media clips that trickle out. So, you know, obviously there's a little bit of gassing up that goes on there when you ask a teammate how his teammate fared in the select team kind of practices and things like that. But Zach was great on Pat and kind of what he's been taking away from the experience and what his advice was to him. Jason, as you said, Zach was a select team guy once upon a time back in 2016. And then we talked about the Olympic stuff, which we've hit on earlier in the show, kind of his role acceptance, which I think has helped him acquit himself well so far in the exhibitions. You know, talked a little bit about what to expect in Tokyo. I think they'll be under pretty tight restrictions, obviously no fans, which is all unfortunate, but you got to do what you got to do to keep everybody safe. And then, you know, we got into some stuff at the end, some other Bulls offseason topics on, you know, Thad and his fuzzy future, his relationship with Billy, et cetera, et cetera. So it was fun to do and to be an annoying media person for a second. It was fun to do in person because I just think you see kind of what, you know, looking someone eye to eye, face to face in person can unlock in terms of an honest or engaging conversation. And I hope we can get back to that in a more expanded way sooner rather than later. We'll see how that goes. But, it was fun to go out there. I made a joke to Tony yesterday that, Jason, we should compare our Vegas trips because mine was, I'm sure, much more boring than yours. It was very much hotel to arena, hotel to arena. But it was fun to do, and you know, obviously appreciated Zach's time. I thought he was pretty good on everything that that he was asked about.
And we got some breaking news, boys, on our friend Mr. Levine. He has been placed in the health and safety protocols and will not be traveling to Tokyo with USA Basketball today. But USA Basketball is still hopeful that Levine will be able to join the team later this week. So he's not been ruled out of the Olympics, but he is not traveling on the team flight to Tokyo today. So, man, COVID is hitting, as we know, both the NBA Finals and USA Basketball, and it sucks on all levels, as we also know. So that is a major bummer.
Super, super bummer. Side note, I have no idea how these these football teams and these baseball teams are running around not vaccinated when you see athletes of your peer group you know, running into these complications or being exposed to a virus that's still running around out here, right on the cusp of it getting cold, because winter is coming again, as it always does in our lives. So that sucks. That sucks. I feel bad for Zach, especially in that first half of that game. I was wondering, like, popping those boards and switching everything, and Zach got caught on a couple of switches with Biggs, and I'm like, uh-oh. That's going to be an issue, and that's how he got in foul trouble too. But yeah, man, that sucks. That changes the tenor, obviously, of the pod. Wishing Zach good health, whatever is going on around that situation. Maybe it's just a contact situation. Obviously, he went through this during the regular season as well. Not a general nor subtle, but just a reminder that it's still going on out here.
Yeah, and let's break that down just a little bit. And this is obviously speculative because we're getting this in real time, but before we've done any reporting on this. But let's break that down a little bit. I mean, you know, Zach has tested positive for this. He told us that, obviously, when he landed in the health and safety protocols in the regular season and missed those 11 games down the stretch. At the time, I reported via sources that he also was vaccinated. So this just at first glance, again, without doing any reporting on it yet, just react to it. This one's an odd one because between vaccination and some antibodies from having produced a positive test and being subjected to this virus already, this one is a different one or an odd one to me. And obviously we'll hope to know more once we get our reporting shoes on as opposed to our podcasting shoes.
Took mine off already. No podcasting shoes for me. That sucks, man. I was getting ready to have like a rip-roaring good time at the end of this pod about the future. Well, I guess I won't say future. The maybe when you're listening to this champion Milwaukee Bucks. Hopefully Zach gets cleared. Hopefully Zach, if he has contracted the COVID-19 virus or whatever's going on around that. I just that's terrible, man. That's terrible. Yeah, like these opportunities, that it sounds cliche, but these opportunities don't come around often. These Olympic athletes who can't perform, Coco Gauff, you know, like this is 4 years. That seems like a long time when you're young, but it's 4 years of a buildup. You might miss something because of injury down the road. You never know what could happen. And you realize too, like Keldon Johnson's story about how many people he has in his family that are U.S. military and how they all, you know, when they heard that he was called up from the select team because Bradley Beal and Kevin Love had to go. It's unfortunate.
Is it worth it trying to come back? Like, I mean, if this is the second time, you know, dealing with this, it's like, you know, man, I tried. It just wasn't in the cards this year. Like, and on top of that, like they already having, you know, issues over there already in Tokyo. It's like I don't know if it's worth it.
I don't begrudge any athlete in this. And pretty much like I stopped. I felt different about the Olympics as I gotten older. Right. Like the Olympics was like for anybody else, but the Olympics for me as a kid was kind of like my window into a whole bunch of different other cultures and how people played the sports that we played and we participated in as well. But man, like the internet has made the world incredibly small. So it's like the pageantry that goes along with the Olympics has kind of waned a little bit for me. And I'm, you know, jaded because we work in this business and all we do is watch sports and talk about sports. So, you know, extra sports sometimes. I know people who get jazzed and like really excited about the Olympics, and I never begrudge them that. It's just I don't feel that way. Like the Team USA losses don't affect me the way they do, you know, other people who rail up about this team losing. It's just this situation. This situation has a chance to be not cool, and we don't have our hands around this. And there are athletes who are flying. Like teams are talking about, like should we have made full vaccination a requirement? And then you get into a whole bunch of different beliefs and all the things that come along with people, not just athletes. So I'm not mad at anybody who's like, yeah, I like it, just not this time. I'm not mad at anybody because this is a deadly virus. Like it's still a deadly virus. So I'm not mad. I hope Zach, like I said, I keep trying to reiterate, I hope Zach is healthy and safe and whatever exposure he has had to this virus again. I hope it isn't. I hope it isn't anything that he has to suffer through. So, yeah, man, that's unfortunate. Now, I mean, now who do they call? Like, who else is on the select team?
Well, no, but the difference is in the statement, the official statement from USA Basketball, it's saying flat out it's out of abundance of caution, and they're hopeful that Zach will still join the team this week in Tokyo. So he's not ruled off the team as of yet. I'm not saying that. Again, we're getting this in real time. I haven't been able to make a phone call on it yet. They are not saying he's off the team. What they're saying is he's not getting on the team flight to Tokyo today, but that he may be able to be cleared to join the team in Tokyo in the coming days. So hopefully we'll be able to find out more here.
Yeah. So shout out to Zach LaVine and all his people. Hope he's okay, man. Cause I don't wish or want to see anybody go through this. And especially a couple of times, that's tough. That's tough. And I hope all the athletes going over to Tokyo are as safe as they possibly can be. That's the other thing too, like the joy of the Olympic Games and commiserating with, you know, people in the Olympic Village. And let's face it, like you got 400 of the most beautiful people in the world who are all athletes thrown into one island. You tend to find some camaraderie with the other people on the village with you. So going over there and it not being the same, and you having to test as frequently as they're going to have to test, and all the things that have to be put in place to make sure this thing comes off without a hitch. Just, it's a lot. That's a lot, man. That's a lot. So hopefully Zach is okay. And hopefully he does stay with the team if that's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do. But like you said, Tony, I wouldn't be mad at him at all. But yeah. Yo, I got a payday coming up. I've seen how this virus has affected some people, you know. I mean, there are still long haulers out there who are athletes. They have to be. You know, there have to be guys and girls who – and actually the WNBA, I forget, and I'm botching this right now, but I believe a noted rookie in the WNBA last year is still having problems even running without, like, being out of breath. And I'm going to find her name because my apologies, but, like, athletes are dealing with the same things that quote-unquote normal people are dealing with when it comes to this virus. So – I wouldn't begrudge Zach or anybody else if they said, hey, I can't risk it. This is it. So yeah, man, that's it. And on top of it, we just talked about his damn fourth quarter that he had. Like, mm-hmm. You know, he was out there with Kevin Durant and Damian Lillard being the best player on the floor. So that means something, especially when you're going up against some Spanish cats. Man, let me tell you something. Those Spanish dudes are all 35 and above and strong as hell. Yeah. Like watching names like, oh, there goes Sergio Rodriguez and Rudy Fernandez, mm-hmm. and all the other people that I used to kill on 2K7 with. You know what I mean? Right, I saw Pau Gasol. I was like, oh shit, they got Pau out there. And I'm like, of course Pau is out there. That's a trip around the world. You know how much he likes to travel, get a chance to go to Vegas, hang out for a little bit, see some of your old pals. Like, yeah. And Pau Gasol should still be playing basketball. And I don't know if he doesn't want to, but like, there's some things there where I'm like, if your brother Mark is still in the league, you know, Mark can't move anymore at all. And people thought when he was like a last minute signing for the Lakers, like he was going to make some kind of difference. Pau's still out there moving and grooving a little bit for old head. So it was good to see a former Bull in Pau Gasol on the floor as well. So yeah, man, the Olympics, when do they start again? I know I should know since this is NBC Sports, but.
Well, USA Basketball, I mean, the Olympics start earlier, but the USA's first game is against France is a week from Sunday. So this coming Sunday is their first game against France. And like we said, hopefully Zach will be there, but we have to do some reporting now. So
got to get to writing and doing all the professorial basketball shit that they usually do for this corporation, this entity that is known as NBC Sports Chicago. So, Rob Schaefer left the city ablaze. I'm going to go back and set it on fire a little bit more for Casey Johnson and Rob Schaefer, my main man, Tony Gill, who is out here playing hurt. Right, Tone?
Yeah. Well, yeah, no. I scheduled the root canal for later. It's coming. I just scheduled it today.
All right, well, screw Tony. He didn't do shit. He's not hurt, and he's just he's hanging out with us. So for Tony Gill, Casey Johnson, Rob Schaefer, I'm Jason Goff. Thank you so much for listening to the Bulls Talk Podcast. Stay tuned, and make sure you download and subscribe so you can get whatever Zach LaVine news we will have for you on Friday's pod, right? Friday's pod. So for the boys, thank you so much for listening to the Bulls Talk Podcast.